بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله we are discussing with regard to how to correct our namazes and how to bring our namaz up to that standard that we realize we in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great benefits that we can get from salah if we make our salah a real salah, a namaz of reality. And as we explained, when our namaz becomes correct, our whole deen will become correct. If our deen is correct, then our dunya will become correct. And then we can only draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we busy with the second sabak, sabak daum, in this kitab Anwaru Salah, which is a lecture of Shaykh Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, and brief explanation has been given by the compiler of this kitab, Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the Khalifa of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. We busy with the second sabak of Niyat, Takbir, Tahrima and Qiyam. And we came to that part, that now when a person realizes that now you in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before coming to the salah, you realize that Allah Rabbul Izzat is giving me a special invitation by making the muazzin announce and call me, that Allah Ta'ala is calling me. And as we have learned, that when you're going for an appointment with a very important person, then how you prepare for that appointment. You see that you take your bath also, you change your clothes also, and appropriate to that appointment, that's the type of clothes we wear. So he also, as Hazrat explained last night also, our dressing is very important. That here we shouldn't think I should dress according to I feel I'm well dressed. No, the person who invited you, how he wants you to present yourself, that is what we should learn. And how he'll be happy how I'm presented. So sometimes a person buys a very expensive clothing, but the person who invited you, and today sadly we see the condition that husband and wife, when they don't make their nikah according to sunnat, that is before the marriage, they caught, they're going out, they even went to buy one another's clothes. And it happened, so many occasions happened that came, that the husband, they went to buy a certain shoe. And then that day when he decided on his nikah day to wear a different shoe, nikah was made, everything, he just went onto the stage and the wife's eye fell onto the shoe. And she said, but this is not the shoe we bought. And just on that argument and talaq took place. So in this dunya for petty things like that, arguments, then in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where we have to draw Allah ta'ala's mercy and we coming not properly presenting ourselves, that means we might think I bought a very nice jubba from Makkah Sharif, very nice special jubba, but it's below my ankles. I came to draw Allah's mercy and that person whose garment is below his ankle from the top down, whether it's a nice jubba also, you are under the lana, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to realize all these important matters, that a person realizes, I must be proper presented, my taharat, my wuzu, everything must be proper. And now when I enter the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the royal court of Allah, the masjids, these are the royal courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with proper etiquette, with the right foot I should enter, I should be reading, taking Allah ta'ala's name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, read durood upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read the dua, make the niyat of itikaf. And now when a person has come and realized that Allah Ta'ala has given me this royal invitation, this is not an ordinary invitation, as we explained, that when a person gets the opportunity to make ziyarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what a great honor. And how honorable he feels. Here and that, a person has to spend a lot of effort he has to make. Here Allah has made it for every person, big or small, young or old, rich or poor, man or woman, all the time, five times a day, Allah has given us an invitation. Now you in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you got the special attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we came to that part that now when you said Allahu Akbar, you realize I'm in the special court, I'm now in the presence of Allah. I got my special appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's focus is totally upon me, 100%. So much so that Allah ta'ala is with me now. And how Hazrat gives a beautiful example that some people out of ignorance, they don't understand that, like Allah Ta'ala, the Nabi Kareem Sawasam has taught us, that we should build our connection with Allah Ta'ala to a level that antabud Allah ka'annaka tara, fa'in lam takun tara fa'innahu yarak. That make ibadat of Allah as though you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. In other words, bring your focus that to realize Allah is watching me. Like Hazrat explained, in this world, you with a naked eye, it's impossible to see Allah Ta'ala. But see the Qudrat of Allah. Imagine how Allah Ta'ala is running the whole universe. How Allah Ta'ala is making me, first of all. How Allah is keeping me into control. How am I standing here? Only with the Qudrat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So realize the presence of Allah, that I am seeing Allah. If you can't reach that stage still, then no, Allah is watching me all the time. But certain people out of ignorance, when we can't realize that Allah is in front of us, or we are saying Allah is watching us, then Hazrat says that some friends of theirs in India, ordinary simple laborers, they were working with some Hindu people. Then the Hindus are telling them and mocking at them that you Muslims, you'll go to the masjid, you'll make salah, but there's no who you're making salah to. Where's your God? He's not there. We go to our temple, our God is there, we can see our idol. Although that idol is totally useless, it's just stone, it can't do anything. So, but they think that their God is there. So where's, so this poor ordinary simple laborer didn't have any knowledge of deen or anything, he didn't know what to say. So that person started taunting him, took advantage that yes, you people, you all go, where's your Allah? What ibadat you all making? What worship you all making? You all standing in front of nobody. So this person was taunted 3-4 times, then he couldn't take it, he gave this person a good hiding, and then he went away. So people said that, you see, he doesn't have, he's ignorant, so he did the wrong thing. So our Hazrat explained so beautifully, he said, no, he didn't do the right thing, he did the wrong thing, he did the right thing, but he didn't just end the lesson. The right thing he did is, he gave the person a hiding, and then he should ask that person, I gave you a hiding, you're feeling pain now, isn't it? Aren't you feeling pain that after I hit you? Says, yes, I'm feeling the pain. So where's the pain? Show me the pain. The pain is there, you can't see the pain, but the pain is there. So he should have told him exactly the same, that our Allah is not, with the naked eye we can't see him, but we know Allah is there. Allah is in control of our emotions. Allah Ta'ala is in control of the whole universe. Our Allah is there. Your idol is there. What he can do? So anyway, when a person realizes now, you're in the presence of Allah. And now Allah Ta'ala has taught us how to present a royal address. How to make salam to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When you grow to a great person, you first have to make salam. And how to make salam, how to address that person, very, very important. Here Allah Ta'ala out of his kindness has taught us, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. That how pure is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How blessed is all praises belongs only and solely to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then how blessed is the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That you take the name of Allah, you just make zikr daily. Allah, 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 you will become Mubarak. Your tongue will start becoming pure. People will ask you for du'as, etc. And wa ta'ala jadduk, how great, how the majesty of Allah, the court of Allah is so lofty. How great is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the cherry on the whole top, wala ilaha ghayruk. There's nobody for me besides Allah. Allah is for me personally. And now I'm talking personally to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that is how kind is Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah Ta'ala is everybody's Allah. But Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity in namaz that we are in personal dialogue, personal contact with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As we learn ahead in the sabak, we'll see how we personally talking to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when a person now has presented himself, recited these words which Allah Ta'ala has taught us, what he has done, jis qadar kalam, ta'zeem aur tawheed ke is bande ki zuban se sadir hoti hai, inayat shahi us par do chand nazil hoti. How he has put with so much honor and respect and with so much of tawheed, realizing the oneness of Allah. Laysa kamithli shay. There's nobody like Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And how kind. Allah has taught us these words. And Allah Ta'ala makes it as if it's in our, as if it's our words. Allahu Akbar. That is the kindness of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, now my banda has presented and come in front of me with such words of great honor.
words of great praise, realizing my tawheed, my oneness, immediately Allah Ta'ala focuses his attention with unlimited bounties to that person. Now Allah Ta'ala's very special kindness, Allah Ta'ala's very special favors upon that person. At that time a person should realize, now the moment you started your salah, while you're reading your sana already, you should realize, aise waqt nuzul rahmati ilahi ke khiyal se, ke huzur baadshah ka muyassar hai. That just think now that at this moment, Allah Ta'ala has given me the special appointment now. Allah Ta'ala, and keep this in mind, that now I am in the presence of Allah. I've got this opportunity to be right in the court of Allah. Direct personal speech with Allah Ta'ala. One to one, me and Allah Ta'ala alone. Secret talking to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now Allah's special mercies are descending upon me. And apne hadir karke. Dil apna hadir karke hajat apne arz kare. Now keep your heart focused, attentive. And as Hazrat explains, as we do the cause of zikrullah, then we learn to keep up our hearts and minds attentive. That out of namaz you'll be focused, that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. In namaz you'll be more attentive. And now you realize that I'm in the presence of Allah. Now Allah Ta'ala says, you present your needs to me. And I will fulfill your needs. This is like when a person realizes that you got an invitation by a very great, honorable person, or your boss today gave you an invitation, and now you came to the boss, you have presented yourself properly, you even made salam properly, and now you see the boss is in a good mood. Now it's time to ask. The boss is in a good mood, so now I can ask him. He'll just give me. So like sometimes, but Hazrat explains so beautifully, he says the bosses of this world also, they keep their robe, they keep their awe. That fear they want to show everybody. They don't want to show that we're in a good mood. Because they know if the workers realize I'm in a good mood, they'll just start asking. Even like a father at home, he doesn't always want to show that I'm in a good mood. The moment he shows I'm in a good mood, the wife will say, here's opportunity. Let me ask for my BM now. The child will say, let me ask for this, let me ask. So they show outwardly. But Allah Rabbul Izzat, who's kings of kings, Malikul Mulk, Allah invites us. And Allah doesn't show His rob, His awe upon us. That no, I'm not. Allah Ta'ala shows us that now is the time. So to say, Allah Ta'ala is in a good mood now. You have presented yourself. You came with proper etiquette. You made your proper wuzu properly. You seen that all your adab of wuzu was done. You entered the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala properly. You surrendered to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You gave up both the worlds that you just want Allah Rabbul Izzat. You want this close connection with Allah Ta'ala. And you surrendered yourself. And now you presented your opening speech of salam to Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah Ta'ala says, now you are Allah Akbar. Allah is in that good mood. Now ask from Allah Ta'ala. What is our needs? And that also Allah Akbar. How kind is Allah that we, Allah create, Hazrat says, teaches us so beautifully. We are the parcel of Allah. Allah created us. Like if you got imported some container from China, wherever, the moment it comes, you check exactly, is this item there, that item there, I ordered this item, that item. So we are the parcel of Allah. Allah knows our needs better than us. So where if Allah had to leave it to us to ask our needs, what we should be asking? Small, small, petty things of this dunya. Oh Allah, give me one Mercedes-Benz, give me one BMW, all this that is going into the scrapyard one day. Oh, it's all perishable. Allah Ta'ala has taught us how to ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But generally, before that, what happens? Allahu Akbar. When a person wants to ask somebody, and the boss is there also, you in front of the boss, you want to ask. But sometimes there's always some person that comes and interrupts. He's very close to the boss or whatever. He comes into the office whenever. And whenever you want to ask something, you know this person will put some spanner in the works. So exactly like that, when we come in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we are ready to present our needs. But there's some enemy all the time trying to put some spanner in the works and start trying to move our attention away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And who is this enemy? The Hazrat explains, dekhin pehle arz se mazmoon dapa shaitan ka ke wo bara harij aur dushman qadeem hai. That before you present your needs and before you present what you want from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, first move away your enemy. He is a biggest spanner in the spokes. He always causes, and he is your old enemy, and he will always cause difficulty. Like you ask your boss that give me a year increase, that person will say, but he just got an increase 6 months ago. You ask your boss that give me leave, he says, but he took leave to last week he took leave. What he wants leave again? So shaitan is the same. And Allahu Akbar. And now, so to remove shaitan, that also Allah Ta'ala has taught us. Allahu Akbar. Hushyar hokar, dil mein lawe aur zuban se kar. Be attentive that now I am right in the court of Allah. I got this close proximity with Allah. I have to present my need to Allah. But all my enemies must be away. There mustn't be any person that has got some hatred and or wants to block my presentation and my need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be attentive, be alert and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Pana mangta hu, Allah ta'ala se pana mangta hu, main saath Allah ke shaitan padkhare se hasil uska raand ke hai. That I seek the protection of Allah from that shaitan, that enemy who has been rejected from Allah Ta'ala also. And he is a curse from Allah Ta'ala. But yet he comes and put a blockage between me and Allah. What Allah Akbar. Beautifully this has been explained. Our Dada Shaykh also explains us, and Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, a very great muhaddis, he explains that what is this, how shaitan is like the blockage between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, like in this world you see, there are many, many rich people and many, many very so-called important people. How lot security they got in front of their houses. To meet them, it's a big, it's not just easy, you can just ring the bell and walk into their home and meet them. They got a lot of security, then security guards. And then besides the guards in their homes, outside, they got dogs, security dogs and very vicious dogs. And if a person, now you go and you got an appointment with a very important person, he gave you appointment. But you came there and the guard doesn't know you got an appointment and you tell him I got an appointment. He doesn't want to allow you and you getting angry and then you want to jump the fence. But there's dogs there. If you jump the fence and say, no, I got an appointment, I'll go in. The dogs will tear you apart. Those bull terriers, etc., they will tear you apart. But an intelligent person, you know I got the appointment, so you just phone the person that who gave you that appointment, the security guard, his boss, you phone him. Or you just draw his attention, ring the bell, whatever. The moment he comes out, or he'll see it's you, he'll move the security guard one side, he'll move the dogs also one side. Just now you with your wife and children, you were scared yourself, you were shivering for those dogs. But the moment the master came, he just made one sign to the dog that you people move one side. Now you know the dog is under his control. Now you're telling your children, your wife, don't be scared, walk nicely. And the dogs won't harm us. Just now you were scared yourself. So exactly the same. So to say, Allah Ta'ala, who is the king of all kings. Outwardly, Allah Ta'ala's security, so to say, is the shaitan. But shaitan is actually like the dog of Allah Ta'ala. He wants to block us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to go directly without drawing the attention of Allah Ta'ala, shaitan will run amok with us. And we see when we don't build connection with Allah and we start our namaz, where we are. 1 minute in New York, 1 minute in Brazil, 1 minute we in the test match, 1 minute we in the bazaar, because we want to try and on our own, we want to try and fight with shaitan and reach Allah Ta'ala. It can't work like that. Allah Ta'ala teaches us so beautifully that you just draw the attention of Allah Ta'ala. That is the dog of Allah. When you say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, immediately Allah Ta'ala will now move shaitan away. That I have given my banda appointment. You get out of the way and now it's between me and him. You get out of our way and let us, now you present your matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when you present your matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now very humbly, very, in a very, very respectable way now, you read first, Allah ta'ala teaches us, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That shuru Allah ke naam se, jo bohot meherban aur raham wala hai. That we start in the name of that great being, Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is extremely merciful, very, very kind being, Allah Rabbul Izzat. This is just briefly the translation, we'll explain about in detail as we carry on. So, yeh shuru hua arzdash ka, aur arzdash yeh hai. This was the beginning of our request to Allah Ta'ala. Our presentation of our needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Allah Ta'ala has taught us that now how we should present our need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine when a person is focused and realize now, I'm in the court of the kings of all kings. And this king just gives. He's so generous. He's so kind. Now how attentive we'll be. And how we'll be focused is like if you go to a person, you need something very important and he's a very generous person, but you're looking all over the show, you're not attentive and you're just asking, you're just rattling off, I need this, but you're not even paying attention. He's not going to turn his attention to you. He'll just tell you, rather you go. You're not here, you're somewhere else. So in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this important presence of the heart, and for this very, very important is the cause of zikrullah. That is why mashayikh teach us that the sabaks also, as we are progressing, we have to make mashq, we have to do our training. That try on our own, individual read 2-4 rakats, nafal namaz, with concentration, bring this in our mind. Without doing this exercises, then we'll find it's not so easy. And when to think, hey, how am I all going to do all these exercises? To think, I must prepare myself, then I must make my wuzu properly, then I must do this. Outwardly, it looks like a very long list. But as you do, you prepare yourself, you'll see as you come, you get used to it, it's part of your life. Like a person who wants to learn to drive. You tell him before you have to drive, you first have to open the door, then you have to sit in the car, then you have to close the door also, then you have to open the gear lock, etc. Then the steering lock you have to open, then you have to turn the key like this. You give him a whole page of 10, 20 items, all this, he'll think, hey, what a long list. In the start, it will be a task for him, he's looking at the paper and he's doing it. But as he starts driving, now he just does it without even realizing. In not even 2 minutes, he opened the door, he set, he opened the steering lock, he opened the gear lock, and he's on his way already. Exactly the same as a person does his course, and we do our exercise, and we make our zikr regularly. We sit in the programs, our honorable illustrious sheikh, and ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us his marifat, his recognition. Now you see automatically, the more before you even enter the masjid, you are focused. Where I'm going? I'm going in the court of my Allah. And I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person does this, then you'll see the enjoyment and how our condition and the enjoyment to salah. As we explained, who doesn't enjoy going for ziyarah to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's a great honor. What a great honor. Here we're getting ziyarah, direct connection with Allah ta'ala. How great honor that is. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his place, but ba'das khuda buzur tuhi. After Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest. Allah is the greatest of greatest. So here we're getting a direct appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is focused, and now you beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now you present your needs, at first in the name of Allah, most merciful, most kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah ta'ala teaches us how to beg from Allah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sab tarifi Allah kuhe, jo sahib sare jahan ka hai. That all praises belongs only and solely to Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is the owner, the controller, the nourisher of all the worlds. All the universes, Allah Ta'ala is the owner. Allah Ta'ala is the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher. And here Allah Ta'ala has taught us, Alhamdu. In this word Alhamdu, there's an Alif Lam before the Hamd. Alif Lam means istighraq, according to the Arabic grammar. It's called istighraq. Istighraq means all encompassing. In other words, whatever type of praises you can get in the world, all those praises belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are 4 type of praises. One is a banda praises himself. That's the first type of praise, which in reality you shouldn't be doing that. Because that is a sign of your stupidity, that you're praising yourself. A person shouldn't be praising himself, but we get people, Allah save me, all of us, we tend to praise ourselves, and we think we are very important. So that is not correct. The second is, a banda praises another banda. One servant praises another servant. Thus, Allah Ta'ala has made it permissible, although sometimes we have a misunderstanding in this. There are 2 aspects to understand here. One is, that it comes in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when a person starts praising you, then throw sand in his face. In other words, close his mouth. Don't let him praise you, because that will create pride in you. But this is, for that person whose tarbiyat is not made, his iman is not made. And when that person is praised, then very quick he thinks, no, I am big. What this person is telling me, I am big. And you forget your whole history. And our example, as I say so beautifully, is like that person has got an old car. He's so tired of that car. That car is causing him so much problem. He want to go in to work in the morning. He has to push the car first. He's more under the car, out of the car than inside the car. And he's trying to sell it for sale, sign everything. Nobody wants to buy it. So he decides, let me take it to the auction. He takes it to the auction. The auctioneer says, I'll sell your car, no problem. So he waits. He sees, now his car is time to be auctioned. The auctioneer starts, hey, this car, it moves like this. You just start it in the morning. And this car is old as it is, but it gives you service. This person just heard 3-4 praises the auctioneer made. He immediately raised his hand. The auctioneer says, what's wrong? He says, no, I want my car back. The auctioneer called him, he says, fool, why you want? He says, you saying the car is so good. He says, idiot, you forgot your 10 years of experience. And now you just few words I praise. So exactly the same. People like us, myself, weak people, we just, people praise us, oh, Maulana, what a good bayan. Oh, you very close to a sheikh, or blows our head. For such people, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, that when certain person praise that person, then close his mouth. He shouldn't be praised, otherwise it will blow our head off. But on the other hand, Hazrat has taught us, our Dada Shaykh has taught, that it comes in the hadith also, إِذَا مُودِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ رَبَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي قُلُوبِ. When a believer is praised, his iman bubbles in his heart, it increases in his heart. And what this means, that a perfect believer, those people whose iman is made, that is the mashayikh, they don't want praises. And normally we see sometimes they are praised, they are introduced, they don't need those praises. But when they are praised, they actually realize, oh Allah, it's your kindness. You have covered all my faults. This person just know two, three good qualities of mine and is praising me. And even if I'm worth some praise, then I don't know my end result, whether I'm going to go like that to the Qabr or not. So they are always thinking of the end, and they realize this is the kindness of Allah. This is only the praises of Allah. And then also further they realize, if this person is saying this about me, it's not me. The work, my parents brought me up. My ustad, see how my ustad taught me. My ustad, my sheikh made me like this. It's not me. It's all the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the praises of the elders. So this person, then that person, his iman is growing. Because he realized this is the praises of Allah Ta'ala. And then also he thinks that this person is praising me, he's got a good eye, he can see good qualities. He's only looking at good. And then he takes it as a dua. And he says, Ya Allah, this person what he's saying, he's making dua for me, let me make me like that. So that type of praises is not harmful for a person whose tarbiyat is made. His nurturing is made. Then that is not harmful, that is permissible. So that praises also is still only for Allah Ta'ala. Because who has given you that ability? Who has given you that understanding? And then the third type of praises, Allah Ta'ala praises Himself. That is obvious. Allah Ta'ala is worthy, and only Allah is worthy of praising Himself, because Allah is totally pure. Allah is free from all blemishes. So, and the fourth type of praises, Allah praises His bandas. Imagine when Allah praises His bandas. Like so many times in the Quran Kareem, Allah says, My beloved servants, Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, ni'mal ab, what beauty, what honorable servants they were. What good servants they were. So all these praises only and solely belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Bahut Meherban, Nihayat Rahmwala, that great being, all praises belongs to him, who is the sustainer, nourisher of all the universes. He is extremely kind, very, very, very merciful and extremely kind being. Oh Allah, Maliki Yawmiddin, who is that Allah of mine? That Allah is the owner of the day of Qiyamah. Not just the judge, he's not just the judge, he's the owner of the day of Qiyamah. As I explained, this is the brief translation. We'll give a bit more explanation as we finish this translation. So, the owner of the day of judgment. And as we have mentioned previously, we should try and learn the meaning of this surah. Surah Fatiha, how many years we are reading. And it's not difficult to learn it. But the Miftahul Quran, that kitab we have mentioned, we should try and get it. Maybe in the bookstore they don't have stock, but the other bookstores can also get it, which is called Miftahul Quran. Try and get this kitab, and very easy to learn, inshallah. We'll see, we'll able to learn the meaning of our surahs, our du'as, and then we'll be focused. We know what we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that Malik Insaf Ke Din, the owner of the day of justice. The day of judgment is the day of justice. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Tujhi ko hum bandagi karte hain, tujhi se madad chahte hain. That, oh Allah, if this is your greatness, then we only worship you. We only bow our heads to you. We only submit to you, O Allah. And in doing this, we only need your assistance. We seek your assistance. Every split moment, we need of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Allah ta'ala's assistance, we can't even think of coming to the masjid. We can't even think of entering the house of Allah. It is only Allah ta'ala's kindness. So we all the time in need of Allah ta'ala's help. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Now what is our greatest need Allah Ta'ala has taught us? Chala hamku ra sidi par. That, oh Allah, tread us on the straight path. Keep us on that straight path. That straight path that is matters of din, dunya also, matters of deen. Whatever work you want to do, if you do it on the right way, your work will get done properly. And who knows the right way? Only Allah Rabbul Izzat. And look how Allah Ta'ala has taught us. Our greatest need is this, which covers all our needs of this world. As we will explain, inshallah, in ahead what Hazrat has taught us. And as we have mentioned from the inception, this is not my bayan in the least, but this is all Hazrat's teachings, which I am in my most very useless, broken way trying to present. So we should appreciate these the favors of our honorable illustrious Sheikh, who has taught us this very beautiful lessons. So Hazrat teaches us here that Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that your greatest need, O Allah, put me on that straight path. Put me on that right path. Sirat al-ladhina namta alayhim. Ra unki jo jin par tu ne fadal kiya. And which is that straight path? That path of those people you have favored. Those people you have favored, that is the straight path. So don't be overtaken with outward conditions and think, hey, this person, he's got a big factory. He is such, he's got this position. He's a minister. He is a favorite of Allah. No, don't be fooled. Don't look at the outward conditions and fool yourself. Know what is the reality. Who Allah Ta'ala has favored. So immediately Allah Ta'ala reminds us here in the surah, don't be overtaken and think these people, Jews and Christians, they are enjoying life and they are ruling the world outwardly, so to say. And as we explained, we don't know our history, so we think they are ruling the world. They only now, few years now, 100 years or so, they got some control. If we Muslims just come and bring our salah properly, then see Allah Ta'ala gives the control to those who are deserving it. The true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala immediately reminds us that the path of those people Allah Ta'ala has favored. Not that path. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ. نَا unki jin par غُصَّى هُوَا hai اور نَا بَحْتْنِ وَالَا ki. Not those people that Allah Ta'ala's anger came upon them. That is the Jews, Allah Ta'ala's terrible anger, and till today Allah Ta'ala's anger is upon them. And not those people who have gone astray, the Christians, who are trying to make one Allah into three and three in one. They don't know themselves who they are worshipping. So they are totally lost. So Allah Ta'ala teaches us, don't go astray. So how Allah Ta'ala has taught us how to present our needs. And what we have presented here, Allahu Akbar. First understand these few points. Ye ardash, Allah sahib ne apne bandon ki zuban se farmayi ke jis waqt ji chahe is tarah kaha kare. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala has taught us these words and put it on our tongues. And Allah Ta'ala has taught us, whenever you want to request from me your needs, your greatest needs, just present it in this way. And I know all your needs, and I will fulfill your needs. Imagine, Allah Ta'ala has taught us, otherwise every time you go to a very generous person, now you must think, hey, what must I tell him today, how must I ask him today? Here Allah Ta'ala has given us a standard formula, and such a complete and perfect formula. And all the time Allah Ta'ala says, 5 times you must come. It is so necessary. Allah Ta'ala knew our minds are so weak, we won't realize our necessity. And we see, even it's farz, how many of us we negligent, how many times we miss our salah. So Allah Ta'ala made it farz, and only those things are farz which are extremely necessary and beneficial for us. Then Allah didn't only make it farz, whenever you want to meet me, if it's not makruh times, just engage in salah and you meet me. And even without salah, making dua, when you got your connection to Allah Ta'ala, while you're driving, you get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has taught us, and Allah puts it on our tongue, and Allah makes it as if we are presenting this verse to Allah Ta'ala. How kind is Allah? Where can we get a more kind and deserving Allah Ta'ala than this? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala teaches us here. So, is tarah kaha kare, baad uske ameen kehna, yani az hamari qubool kar. After this, we have learned that after you say waladhaaleen and say ameen. Ameen means that, oh Allah, please accept what we have. Allah Ta'ala is saying, ask me like this and say accept. In other words, Allah wants to give you. When a boss wants to give you the job, he'll tell you just fill in this form and this is how you fill it in. In other words, he's telling you how to fill it in. He wants to give you the job. He's just making you show that, no, you are in need. So show that you are in need. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us, and then Allah Ta'ala taught us the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say Ameen. That, oh Allah, please accept. You have accepted this request of mine. Yani az hamara qabool kar, sunnat hai. To say ameen is sunnat. Aur yeh lafz Quran ka nahi bil ittifaq. According to all the ulama, this word is not part of the Quran. This word ameen is not part of Surah Fatiha. It's not part of the Quran Sharif. But it is the sunnat to say ameen and softly after we recite Surah Fatiha. Aur namaz mein uske saath ek surah all mila de. Then Hazrat has taught us here that what namaz it is to recite one other surah also, we should add a surah. That means Surah Fatiha plus a surah. This is wajib. To recite qiraat in namaz, Quran Sharif, that is at least three ayats or one ayat that is equal to three ayats. That amount of recitation of Quran Sharif is farz. But to recite individually Surah Fatiha and a surah, that is wajib. So what Surah Fatiha, add another surah. So Hazrat is presenting another surah, giving the brief explanation, meaning of another surah. Then that is what we generally read, and mostly we all read the surah. So which is the surah he is presenting? He says, aur namaz ke aur uske saath ek surah aur mila de. Padna Surah Fatiha aur milana ek aur surah. Surah ka wajib hai. That is to read Surah Fatiha and add another surah, that is wajib. Or padna, now to add that other surah, padna auzu bismillah ka sunnat hai. That is before you start your Surah Fatiha, to read auzu billahi min shaitan rajim, to read bismillahir rahmanir rahim, this is also sunnat. So we should read auzu bismillah before Surah Fatiha. And then after you read your Surah Fatiha, the next surah when you read, now you don't have to read auzu. Now you just read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is Sunnat. Or is maqam par Surah Ikhlas. He say on this at this juncture, I am presenting to you Surah Ikhlas, the brief meaning of it, because generally people ek ye ke awamun nas namaz mein behtar usi ko padte hain. Dusre ye ke tauheed aur samdiyat Allah ki aur bakhur. اور بے چونی اور برائی اس کی اس صورت میں بے اختصاص خوب ہے اللہ اکبر اور اس واسطے کے حکم اس کا اس طرح نازل ہوا اللہ اکبر. So he says, I'm presenting kul wallahu ahad here because of two reasons. One is, generally, most of us, if not all of us, we read Surah Fatiha in our, so kul wallahu ahad in our namazes. And as Hazrat says, we got our patent surahs and the most shorter surahs generally. But we all, and Surah Ikhlas is a very, very great surah to be reading in any case. And secondly, he says, in Surah Ikhlas, it is so full of meaning. It's got the meaning of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And then the meaning of Samdiyat, Allah Ta'ala's independence, that Allah doesn't need us. Allah doesn't want us to come here. We are totally in need of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has brought us here, and just as God extremely explained the greatness of Allah, the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it is full in the surah. It is totally impregnated in the surah. That is why I am presenting the surah to you. So when you read, as we explained, one form of concentration is just to think that this is the subject matter of the surah. If you don't know the meaning of all the words, at least realize surah, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, this is what to do with the Tawheed of Allah, with the greatness of Allah, with the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that is also concentration. So in Surah Ikhlas, which is also another name called Surah Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, Allah Ta'ala presents it in this way. Istara nazil huwa qul huwallahu ahad, tu kehde Allah ek hai. That, oh my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you tell them that Allah Ta'ala is one. Allah Ta'ala is totally independent. There is nobody like Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, as Hazrat explains, that we should learn to know Allah as Allah is. How Allah is totally alone in His being. then Allah is totally alone in His sifat, in His qualities. Then Allah Ta'ala is totally, nobody can match Allah in His af'al, executing of those qualities of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we should learn all this, and we are so fortunate the Kitab on Aqaid is read, all the different branches of deen are read to us, so that when we go home, we realize that we make ta'leem of this in our homes. Then Allah Ta'ala says, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, further explain my bandas, my servants, who am I? Allahu Samad. Allah Ta'ala paak hai, yani khana peene kuch nahi. That Allah Ta'ala is totally independent, free. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need any food. Allah Ta'ala has got no needs whatsoever. Who Samad? Al muhtaju ilayhi kullu ahad. Wala yahtaju ila ayyi ahad. A Samad, independent, is that great being that every creation is every split moment in need of Him. And in return, Allah is not in need of any of His creation, not even for a brilliant of a split of a second. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of any of His creation. So that is Samad. Samad usko kehte hai jo khud kisi ka muhtaj na ho aur usi ke sabab sab muhtaj ho. That Allah is not in need of anybody, and every creation is totally in need of Allah Ta'ala every moment, every split moment. And further, how great is our Allah. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, na kisi ko jana aur na kisi se jana gaya. Allah Ta'ala hasn't given birth to anybody, neither is Allah Ta'ala being given birth to. Allah is awwal wal akhir. Allah is the first, there's no first before Allah. Allah is the last, there's no last after. Allah is forever and all the time and will remain forever. Kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika zul jalali wal ikram. Allah is ever existing, and Allah will disintegrate the whole world, and Allah Ta'ala will remain alone to show Allah Ta'ala's greatness. And when we realize this, naturally, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٌ. اور نہیں اس کے برابر کا کوئی. Nobody is equal to Allah. When we say nobody, not in the least, but we can't imagine ever associating even any aspect of Allah Ta'ala's wahdaniyat, Allah Ta'ala's oneness, Allah's qualities to any creation. It is totally impossible. There is nobody like Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is why when you say you are Allah Akbar, just think that there is, oh Allah, there is nobody for me besides you. There is nobody that I know as great as you. You are the greatest, oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Is ardaash ke mazmoon ko is tarah se samjhe, ke jaise koi muflis se muflis, tawangar se tawangar bacha ke samne das basta kara hokar, apni aajizi aur muflis اور اس کی تونگری اور برائی بیان کرتا ہے اور بڑا امیدوار ہو کر کچھ مانگتا ہے. Allahu Akbar. Now this presentation of yours, in which way you should be pondering that I am presenting myself in front of Allah. All this Allah has taught us how to present ourselves. But together with that, what should be our attitude and how we should be presenting ourselves to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that realize I am the poorest of poorest person. I am the one that is in the most, I'm the neediest and the neediest of all person. And I am now stretching my hand. I am standing in front of, and I am totally helpless. I am totally useless. I am the most neediest person in the world. And now I have got the opportunity to be standing in front of the wealthiest of wealthiest, the richest of richest being, and the greatest and greatest of being. And now when you realize that I am standing in front of such a rich person, such a rich being, such a kind and loving being, such a generous being, then your heart will be full of hope. So have ummeed, have hope in the mercies of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that definitely Allah Ta'ala will look at me with the eye of mercy. Allah Ta'ala will bless me and fulfill all my needs. Allahu Akbar. This is just the brief tarjuma, the meaning. Then what in depth there is, tell briefly, inshallah. Time is up. Tomorrow Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, we'll continue with this lesson. So from this we realize already that now when you, Allah Akbar, got the special appointment with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, how attentive you must be. First of all, realize what a great honor. Now to come for salah is not just a duty. It's not a responsibility. It's a burden. It's far. It's an enjoyment. Like, what a great occasion. You'll leave everything one side and you'll hasten towards salah. And you'll be eager to come for salah. And you'll know whatever I need, I can only get it in this court. Nobody else can give it to me. No, they can't be a richer person than Allah Ta'ala in the world. They can't be a more generous person. And who know my needs more than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In this way, if a person realizes, he presents himself to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now, on the one hand, when you stand in front of a great king, you got fear, you are trembling, and you make sure you stand with respect all the time. On the other hand, you got great hope. That what a great king this is. How kind he is. So Allah Akbar, in that way, Allah Ta'ala special mercies descend upon us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to get the realization and of this. And as we have explained, we have to make mashq and try and practice these lessons. Then see, Allah Ta'ala will make this become a reality for us. Inshallah.